began speaking a couple weeks ago about walking with God, and we want to continue with that thought today, especially in light of the music that was rendered for us in our worship. Running to the Father and saying, "Nothing else will do. I don't want anything else but Jesus." Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. The question is asked and is stated. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" We pause for a moment. Because we think about the requirements of God, people like to put things on us that often God has not put upon us. They may like for us to jump through those hoops with the idea, if we do these things will satisfy God. The question is asked, what does the Lord require of you? And then the answer is given: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It is the last part of that verse that I want us to continue talking about, and that is walking humbly with our God. Amen? As a subtitle, I want to impress upon you this idea: proximity matters. Amen?
Amen.
Proximity matters. It makes a difference. Because there are different ways that we can walk with God. Amen?
Amen.
Some people like to walk with God and keep him just within eyesight. They don't want to get too close to God because they feel like if I get too close to him, he's going to require too much of me. Or they've fallen back on that Old Testament thing if you get too close to God, he's going to hurt you. Right? Because God always had this thing about, looking upon him, and those who looked upon him would what? They would die. The reason because of that was because of the very nature of God. In this flesh, in this restricted flesh, you can't handle, we can't handle what God looks like in his glory. Hence, he says, no one can look upon me and live. He says, no one can look upon me and live in the existence or condition that you're in, because you are going to need to be transformed in order to look upon the face of God. So some folks like keeping their distance from God because they think, if I get too close, I might get hurt. And so it is that they call themselves walking with God or following him, but he's so far ahead, and they make sure that, I can see him. As long as he's within eyesight, everything is all right. Amen?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that, that's okay for those who want to have a long-distance relationship with God. That's okay for them, but you do know that you miss out on a lot of benefits when you're in a long-distance relationship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Then there are those who feel like, Well, that's too far away. I want to be a little bit closer to him, but I don't want to be so close that he starts to make demands upon me. Right?
Yeah.
I want to see where he's going. I want to watch what he's doing. I want to like him. I want to be one of his followers. Amen? And so that when he does something, it'll show up in my feed. So I can see what's up and what's going on. But I don't want to be so close to him that he can reach back and grab me and say, "Come on, help me do this." I don't want that. I just want to see what he's up to so that I can say to people, "God is good. Did you hear about it?" Did you see? I just want to be able to have dialogue about the goodness of God, but I don't want to be in such relationship with him that I know, if you will, what he's doing, or that he's including me, if you will, in his work. Again, it's good to be in his feet. It's good to know what's going on. But if all you're getting is the after effects of what's going on, you're not getting the full benefit of walking with God. There's a third way that I want to bring to your attention, and that is up close and personal. And this is the thing that I want to make sure that you understand. When I use the phrase walking with God, that I'm talking about an up close and personal relationship. When we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that was one of the first things I talked about, was being in fellowship and relationship with God. And so it's not the idea of having some distant relationship with him. I know of God. No. It needs to be, I know God and I am walking with him. But wait a minute, it gets even better. God knows me and he's invited me to walk with him. Amen. Amen? That's what relationship is all about. It's not about me watching him from a distance, seeing where he's going so I can follow him, or watching him from a distance, seeing what he is doing so I can talk about his work. It's about you and me being in relationship with him, to be available to him, to participate in the work that he is doing, because he has rescued you and me from the dominion of darkness and invited us to be a part of his works. That's walking with God. I told you last time, a man by the name of Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Then the Bible says Enoch was no more because God took him away. It was by faith. Now, if you keep reading in Genesis, what you'll discover is that there was another man that he follows up, says, that also walked with God. And that was Noah. You're familiar with Noah. Noah walked with God, and we can tell by the response of God that Noah was not walking with God where he had God way in a distance where he could only see him or see what he was doing. No, Noah was one who actually walked with God up close and personal, because when God, during that time, God was looking at all the stuff that mankind was doing. And God said that, listen, they just some rotten, dirty scoundrels. I need to go ahead on and start this thing all over again. And he was getting ready to wipe out everybody. But then he saw Noah, who was a righteous man, and who was walking with him. And he grabbed Noah and said, Noah, I got work for you to do. Can I tell you that when you walk with God in the right proximity, up close and personal to him, God will have work for you to do. Your life won't be empty. Your life will not be without purpose. You won't be just working just to be working, but you will be using the very breath that he has given you so that your life can bring honor to him, and so that you can participate in the works that he is doing. When you walk with God in proper proximity, God can then speak to you and share with you what he wants to do and how you can participate in what he is doing. We're all familiar with the assignment that was given to Noah. Noah was given the assignment of building an ark. It was doing something that had not been done before, in anticipation of something that had not been received upon the earth before, because it had never rained. And because Noah walked with God in close proximity to God, Noah then was able to receive God's instruction and trust him enough to do something that had never been done before, that was going to take a long time to do, to not grow weary in doing it, to finish the assignment, so that when he finished doing what God told him to do, God could then do what he had planned to do. When he finished doing what God told him to do, then God could go. I hope you see this connection, that there are some things that God wants to do in the earth. But in order for God to do these things in the earth, he uses people like you and me to do our part on the earth. And many times God can't do what he wants to do because we won't do
Right, right,
yeah.
right. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. That means that you and I need to walk close with him so that we don't grow weary. We walk close with him because when we're walking close with God, he gives us his strength. He gives us his energy. He gives us his vision.
Yes.
He gives us his wisdom. He gives us his creativity. He gives us his resources. So the very thing that he has called us to do, we can finish the race.
Amen.
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 You are maintaining distance from him, you're going to miss it. Because proximity matters. Proximity matters. Listen, taking in account to the person who is looking at God, they can see him from a distance. Yeah, you can see him, but don't you know that God wants to engage all of you? He not only wants you to see him, he wants you to be able to hear him. And God has a habit of not reaching back and yelling just because you chose to stay back. Just because you chose to stay back, he's not going to turn around and yell at you his instructions. But when you up close and personal, you can hear his whisper.
Yeah.
Amen? And where I want you and me to be is to move into that space of where we can hear God whisper. Yeah. You remember the story of Elijah? Elijah was a prophet who had been called of God. He had done battle with idol worshipers, idol gods, Baal, Asherah. He had gone up and fought with their prophets and actually showed them that here's the true and living God. You remember that contest they had where there were almost 900, if you will, close to 900 different prophets who were working, trying to call Baal to show up and prove who was God. Because Elijah had said, let's build an altar. You build an altar, and the God who answers by fire is really God. And so he told them, you guys go first, right? You go first because we, you know what? We'll see who's what. If your God is really, if Baal is really God, this thing will be over. And you remember what was happening. They built their altar and they started to cry out unto Baal all day long. They were dancing. They were shouting. They were doing all kinds of stuff. They even moved to the place of where they were cutting themselves and trying to get his attention so that fire could come down from heaven. It got so bad that Elijah started to taunt them and make fun of them. He said, maybe he can't hear you because he went to the bathroom. Finally, at the end of the day, Elijah said, enough of this, stop it already. Then he had the altar built where he was going to offer the bull. And because he knew that God would answer by fire, he told them to go ahead and just dump water upon this offering. I need you to dig a trench around it so when fire comes, nobody gets hurt. And I want you to fill this trench up with water all around. He does this. The people do it. And then Elijah calls unto God, and God answers by fire. And it shows in that who the real God was. Because you have people who were following different gods, and Elijah was saying, if God is God, then serve him. If Baal is God, then serve him. And if you need proof about who God is, let's have this contest, and so we can show who the real God is. God responds to Elijah because Elijah was also a man who walked with God. He responds to him and God answers by fire. But then a problem happens. This woman by the name of Jezebel, who was married to the king, put out a hit on Elijah. She said, because of what you did, I'm going to do the same thing to you that you did to those prophets. I'm going to kill you. For some reason, Elijah got scurred. He said, well, one reason he did that is because she had been killing other folks with no problem. All right? She had been successful in all of her other threats. She had been successful in taking people out. And so when she issued this threat against Elijah, he said, uh-oh. And so he then decided to run or to leave.
Because in his mind, he said, God, I've been with you. I've been walking with you. I've been doing your bidding. And all of a sudden, you're going to let this woman come against me and destroy me. And God didn't interrupt him at the moment, because God had never said he was going to let that woman come up against him and win. That's what Elijah heard. And so as he's on his journey, God meets him and tells him where to go. When he shows up at the place where God tells him where to go, God comes out to meet Elijah at that place. And God's presence was preceded by strong wind and by earthquakes. The Bible is clear that God was not in the strong wind. He was not in the earthquake. It says, but after those things had passed by, there was a small whisper. And Elijah heard the voice of God. He interacted with the person of God through the small whisper. It wasn't in the noise. It wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in the earthquake. It was in the whisper. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that the same God who whispered then whispers now. And the way that you and I learn to hear him is not in all the noise of life, not in all of the activity that goes on, but we learn to hear him when we're in close proximity to him, so that we can hear and recognize his voice and respond to him. Proximity matters. I want to encourage you, if you've been following God from a distance, stop it today, because you're missing out on some benefits. If you've been following him from a distance, you need to draw close to him, because the word of God says, draw close to God and he will draw near to you. Yeah. That it is a choice. Can I just tell you that walking with God is a choice?
Amen.
It is what you choose to do in response to his invitation. And this is what you need to know. God is not going to make you walk close with him. You've got to choose to walk close with him. If you want to do something different, God will let you go on about your way. But there is a way that seems right to a man, but what you discover, in the end, it leads to death. You've got to choose to accept his invitation to walk close to him. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke on you. Stop for a minute. Yoke talks about proximity. You can't, in order to be yoked up with Jesus, in order to be yoked up with him, it's proximity. Yoke had to do with that piece of equipment that was put on animals that were plowing together. They were working together. It was the yoke. You would not put two animals together separated miles apart. You wouldn't put one animal here and one animal there. They were side by side. It was about proximity. And so he says, come. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me. It's an invitation for you to be yoked up with him in close proximity with him, so that you can walk with him, so that you can walk according to his plan, so that you can walk according to his strength, so that you can walk according to his will. And when you're walking with God by choice, it makes all the difference in your life, in the destination of your life. Amen.
Yeah.
If you were invited to participate in one of those fun games that they used to play when I was growing up, it was a three-legged race on field day. The three-legged race was when you had two people and their inside legs were tied together. They tied the legs, the inside legs together, and then they were competing against other teams to see who could make it to the finish line first. In order for a team to be successful, they had to be what? Working together. In order for them to be qualified in the race, they had to be what? Tied together. Amen. You couldn't compete in a three-legged race with an imaginary rope around your leg.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It had to be a legitimate rope
or string or rag or whatever was being used, it had to be a legitimate something that was being used to tie you together in order for you to be participating. Listen, you cannot walk with God in an illegitimate manner. In order for you to walk with God, it has to be by choice, it has to be obedience, and obedience, and it has to be through the person of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You can't claim to be walking with God and you got Jesus on the side. Jesus is the one who binds you to the Father. Amen?
Yes.
And if you put Jesus on the sideline, whatever connection you think you have to God is illegitimate, and it will not yield to you what God wants you to have. So he says, make sure that you are walking with the Father through the person of Jesus Christ, because you have chosen to put your hope in him, and you have chosen to be obedient to him because you are cooperating with his plan and with his strategy. Proximity, brothers and sisters, make a difference. And the way you hold close to the Father is through the person of Jesus Christ. Can I give you some good news? Here's the good news. When you are walking with God through the person of Jesus Christ, here's the good news. He won't let you go. Amen? Oh, wait a minute. See, that's the, go back to Matthew 11, where he says, take up on his yoke, right? Take my yoke and follow me. When you're walking with the Father and allowing Jesus Christ to be the one who binds you together, he won't let you go. Here is what Jesus will do. If you're falling too far behind, he'll jerk you. Amen.
Amen.
If you belong to him, he'll jerk you. Anybody ever walk with a little baby? You know, little babies sometimes begin to walk at their own pace because they get tired. Amen? And sometimes you got to come on. Pick it up a little bit. You know, you got to slow down. Yeah, you can't walk with your normal stride. Sometimes you got to slow down and come on, pick it up. Because they're distracted, right? Now people down here, they see stuff down here that's getting their attention, and they all distracted and getting over here, and you trying to get somewhere. That's how Jesus is with us.
Yeah.
Jesus is up high, we down here, and we get distracted by stuff. And sometimes Jesus got to grab us, and he's got to jerk us and pull us along here. Come on. Come on, you get caught up with the wrong kind of stuff. That ain't got nothing to do with where we go. He's got to jerk us sometimes and pull us along. The other good thing I like about the fact that he'll jerk and pull us along is that sometimes, you know, when you're walking with a baby, sometimes they're moving so slow and they get tired that you got to do what? You got to pick them up. Ooh, I like that thing. I think y'all like it. I like it. Sometimes when I'm moving with Jesus, when I'm walking with God, because I'm hooked up through the person of Jesus, sometimes he's got to pick me up and carry me because I become so tired and I become so weary, and because I put my hope, my trust, and my confidence in him, and he said, never will I leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm going to pick you up and carry you until you've rested enough to get back down and walk with me. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That means that if you're walking with God through the person of Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about being left behind.
That's right.
Because when he brought you into this relationship, when he brought you into this equation, it was with the determination that you were going to make it to the end, that you were going to make it to the other side. Because he who began a good work in you, he's going to see it through to completion.
Yes.
And so sometimes he's got to carry you until you regain your strength, regain your energy to where you have your focus and you are able to walk along. I'm excited that walking with God means that he will never, ever leave me alone. I'm excited about the fact that sometimes I may stumble and fall and he will pause to pick me up.
Yes.
I'm excited to know that even when I become distracted, he jerks me. And can I tell you, sometimes that jerking looks like discipline.
All right.
Amen. Amen. He disciplines those who he loves. He put some pressure on you until you realize that I'm not leaving you here, because when I start, I also finish. So proximity really does make a difference. And your proximity is cemented in the person of Jesus Christ, who, when you put your hope, your trust, your confidence in him, when you are walking with him and following him, he makes sure that you stay close enough to the Father, that you are connected to the vine, so that you are able to hear God speak and follow his leading. Here's the final thing that I want to give you hope with, is that when you walk in close proximity with God, he not only carries you, but he invites you to participate in supernatural things. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, he really does. He invites you to defy the odds. Amen? When you get hooked up with God and you're walking with God, don't you remember what Brother David said? With God, all things are possible. That means all things. That there is nothing then that becomes too hard for God. And when you're hooked up with God through the person of Jesus Christ, he invites you to overcome the odds. This is best illustrated by the Apostle Peter. And you remember that phenomenal experience that the Apostle Peter had. That one day, after a long day of ministry, Jesus told them to get in the boat and go to the other side. He told all of his disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. And Jesus himself went up on a mountainside to pray. And while they were in the boat trying to get to the other side, there was a storm that arose, and it was hindering their progress. They were rowing and they were laboring, but they could not make it to the other side because of the wind in the rain and because of the storm that they were experiencing. Jesus, after he had spent time praying and talking to the Father, decided that it was time for him too to go to the other side. Jesus didn't have a boat. Jesus chose to use the lake itself, to use the water itself as his pathway to the other side. So Jesus comes down the mountaintop, and he then begins to recede to the other side, and he is walking on water. The Bible says that when the disciples look up and they see somebody walking on water, they don't recognize that it is Jesus. They get scared again and they say, it's a ghost. Then Jesus pauses. He identifies himself. And Peter looks out at Jesus in the midst of the storm. And he says, Jesus, if that's you, tell me, give me the command to come to you. And Jesus said, okay, come to me. Jesus is defying the odds by walking on the water. Peter is in the boat, scared and afraid. The storm, the wind is blowing. And Peter says, it is you though, because I know with you, I too can defy the odds. With you, all things are possible. So if it's you, you can give me the command and I can do the same thing that you are doing. So Jesus says to him, get out of the boat and come to me. I love that Peter didn't enter into dialogue and start saying, no, are you for real? Serious? No, it says that Peter responded quickly. Why? Because it's always a choice and you got to be obedient in order for you to experience what God is wanting you to experience. You can't get what God wants you to get if you're not obeying what God has already said to you. Amen?
Amen.
And so Peter gets out of the boat. And when Peter gets out of the boat, something amazing happens. He does not sink. The Bible says Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on water. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about walking, I think about more than one step. Amen? Amen. A step is a step, but Peter was walking. It says Peter began to walk on water. So it indicates that Peter got out of the boat and he took more than one step. It doesn't say how many steps he took. It just says that he got out of the boat and he began to walk on water, doing that which was not ordinary, doing that which overcame the odds, and he began to go toward Jesus. Brothers and sisters, in close proximity to Jesus, when you're walking with God, then it enables you and me to do the supernatural. The Word of God says this: you will do the same things that Jesus did. In fact, he said, greater works than these will you do. The only way you can do them is if you are operating in the power and spirit of God, and if you are in close proximity to God, so that you can do what he has commanded and called you to do. It was at God's command, at Christ's command, that he said to Peter, get out of the boat. And when he gives you and me a command to do what seems like it's just too hard to do, your job and my job is to simply obey and leave the rest to him. Amen? And if you will simply obey and leave the rest to him, what you will discover is that God is able to do much more than you and I could ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us and according to what he wants to do to bring glory and honor to his name. If you and I would just learn to trust him and not ourselves, he will get us through those rough places. If you and I would learn to just trust him and not ourselves, he will use us so that he can be manifested upon the earth to move in the experiences of individuals so that they will know that there is a God who lives. Yes, he sits high, but he also works low. If you and I would just trust him, and we would walk with God and stay in close proximity with him, then we can take what we have, use our instruments for righteousness, our hands, our feet, our tongue, use them for righteousness so that God can manifest himself, express himself, and come in and shackle, break down the shackles of darkness and deliver men and women from the bondage of the enemy. If only we would walk in close proximity to him. When we hear his voice, when we are connected with him, and when we carry out his bidding. What's required of you? To walk humbly with your God. Just like the psalm said, if there's anything that is getting in the way of you walking humbly with your God, can I implore you to lay it down, to push it aside, to put it in its right place, so that there is nothing that interferes with you walking in close proximity to the God who loves you, who saved you, who redeemed you, and who called you with purpose so that you could bring glory and honor to his name. Amen.
Amen.